Okay, are you ready for rule number three? Which is, can happiness buy you money? Now, I know that might sound a little strange, and Joel will go into detail as far as how he changed the normal phrase of can money buy you happiness and turned it into can happiness buy you money? And we'll go into detail of what that means throughout this module here in the masterclass. So sit back, have your pen and paper ready, take some notes, and I'll talk to you as soon as the class is over. We'll talk soon.
Randy, thanks again so much for having me. It's really truly a pleasure and an honor to be here. So let's talk about rule number three, which is an unusual one. Can happiness buy you money? Not can money buy you happiness, can happiness buy you money? So let me tell you a quick story. It was July 1st, 2015. I was on the Metro North train. We were pulling into Harlem 125th Street Station. It was about 7:15 a.m. when I got the news, and I was literally, tears were rolling down my cheeks. A stock that we were betting was gonna go down was being acquired for a 30% premium. It was going to be the worst day of my career managing money. And why was I crying? Because I was in pain. I felt like I had let my investors down. I was managing my hedge fund at the time, and I felt like I had let them down. And I remember on the train ride going into Grand Central thinking, should I just give up? I don't know if anyone watching or listening has ever felt that way. When you've been doing something and something really bad happened and you're like, maybe I should just give up. So maybe some of you have felt that way. I decided not to give up. I put on an uplifting song called Ooh Child by the Five Stair Steps. You know, ooh child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh child, things are gonna get brighter. And look, the song didn't make me ecstatic, but it did make me stop crying. And I put on a good, calm appearance that day for my colleagues because they knew it was going to be the worst day that we were managing the hedge fund, that July 1st day. And when I was feeling down throughout the day, I put on another uplifting song. And another uplifting song. And I went home that night thinking, I feel terrible. What can I do to feel better? And over the next days and weeks, I put together a list of quote unquote happy habits, the things that make me feel good independent of what's going on in the physical world. Spending time with my daughters, Lauren and Morgan, my company name, Salor Moore, is named after them. Lore for Lauren, Moore for Morgan. You know, at the time, they were much younger. They were 6 and 4, 7 and 5. And so spending time with them, playing games with them, that was fun. Maybe going on vacation with them, reading a book, going for a jog, getting out in nature, writing down, just getting stuff out of my head, writing stuff down, journaling, some people call it. Now, visualizing what I wanted to happen. And, you know, you may want to write down your own list. It could be, you know, spending time with your loved ones, or you may have a dog or cat that creates unconditional love for you, petting them or playing with them. So make your own list. And I found that it actually, unconditionally made me happy, these things. I realized that up until that point, if I made money at my hedge fund, I was happy. If I lost money, I was sad. And by the way, I didn't make money every day. If I made money 60% of the time, I was really, really happy. But generally, it was about half-half. So imagine living your life half the time unhappy because you're conditionally trying to make money for your investors and yourself, and that threw you off every day. You know, you're conditionally happy or sad. So that was the first time I realized that I could create my own happiness independent of what other people said or thought or did, and independent of what my portfolio did. So here's the punchline. In August and September of 2015, I had my best 2 months managing money relative to the overall stock market index. My fund was up 3%. The market was down 9%. We outperformed by 1,200 basis points or 12%. And I will tell you to this day, I credit my happy habits, those 2 months. I was doing them religiously, every day, disciplined, creating more and more, getting more, spending more time on them, that helped me make the money. And I wasn't staring at the screen. I actually took, it was the first time in my career managing money, I took 2 weeks off in August. And I didn't look at the screens all day. I spent one day with my daughters at Disney World. I spent another week with a buddy of mine in Croatia. And we weren't staring, like he was a mutual fund manager. We weren't staring at the screens all day. We were enjoying ourselves. And, you know, going on vacation, Kent, you know, being by the sea, you know, being with Disney characters, that can make you feel better, and not focusing on the volatility of the stock market. So anyway, I would recommend writing down some happy habits that you can do for yourself and go to them. So maybe you're feeling worried or scared about your money situation. You know, I know some of you are looking at the stock market every day. You know, people worried about real estate property prices, given the high interest rate environment and seeing their peer houses going down, at least in my neighborhood, they've gone down the last quarter about 9-10%. So what can you do to be unconditionally happy? Write down some of those things. It may be, you know, going for a massage, it may be getting a mani-pedi, but write those things down so you can have that happiness independent of what's going on in the physical world. And I do things for myself, and I, you know this, Randy, for about 2 hours every day. I'm not saying you need to have a 2-hour routine, but pick one thing for yourself for self-care, at least one thing. And yeah, I do write in the morning for five. I time it. I write for 5 minutes, just getting any of those negative thoughts out into the paper until I'm not perseverating on them. I visualize, that makes me feel good. I think about what I want to happen rather than what I don't want to happen. You know, I'm thinking about that next client I'm helping become financially free, or traveling, or being in that dream car, whatever it is. And, you know, doing those things makes me happy. You have to believe that this works. If you're skeptical at anything, so I will tell you, when I have new clients come in, I ask them if I'm coaching them on stock market investing. I ask them, so what's your belief level from 1 to 10? 10 is absolute faith, 1 is massive doubt, that you can make 20% a year in the stock market. 1 to 10, give me a number. Okay, it's 10. Okay, what's your belief level that you can make 50% in the stock market in the next year? Oh, forget it. That would be one person. Then another person may say, I'm a 10. I know that can happen. Okay, let's go higher. What's your belief level that you could double your money in the next year? Oh, I'm an absolute 10. Now, that person has a much higher probability of making 100% versus the person who says, there's no way in heck that can ever happen, right? And so it's the same thing here with your happiness habits. If you believe that that can translate into abundance and prosperity in your life, and I tell you it absolutely can and will, but I can't translate my belief to you. You have to believe it. Now, I will tell you, though, that the same vibration for happiness, the same frequency and vibration for happiness and joy and passion is the same frequency for gratitude and appreciation and abundance and prosperity. It's all the same vibration. So if you're vibrating down here on sadness, like because you're upset, you just had your worst day managing money as a hedge fund manager, you can't get here from here. You're on the wrong radio station. You're on 92.3 and not 102.7. You can't get there. So what things can you do to increase your frequency to get towards that abundance and prosperity frequency? And I recommend doing these happy habits. So Julia Cameron wrote the book called The Artist's Way. And that was the first book, I think it was written 40, 50 years ago, that talked about journaling. And she's much more adamant about writing 3 pages every day. And I tried And I didn't get to 3 pages. I could have. It probably would have taken me hours. But what I just, so now I just set a time, and I'd recommend the same thing to viewers or listeners who want to start journaling. Start with 3 or 5 minutes. Start with a baby step. If you want to go more, go more. But it's just getting it out of here onto the paper so that you're not going over and over on it. And there'll be thoughts that come up for me that are not the most pleasant thoughts. Like, just I get them on the paper, and then I feel like I can deal with them better, or not have to deal with them if they're just there. So yeah, it's a powerful technique.
So the third money rule.
Happiness buy you money. Not can money buy you happiness, can happiness buy you money? And it's a rhetorical question from my perspective. If you're ecstatic, 24/7, just watch the money flow, watch the prosperity and abundance flow. Because it will. That's an important point to make, that to know that you create your emotions. No one else. You get to decide if you're happy or not. Not the stock market, not the government, not the economy, not your spouse, not your parents, not your children. You get to decide. And it's your choice. And so when you know that, and it's been 8 years, only 8 years, I'm not 20, so I figured it out a little bit later in life. But it took me to 8 years ago to realize, wait a second, I can create my happiness, not be, swayed every single day by what the stock market is doing, what my portfolio is doing. Create the happy habit. Like, write down 3 things right now that can create happiness, so that you can go to them if you're feeling worried about your money situation or something hiccup happens during the day. You can say, okay, I'm going to listen to this song. Or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to do this. So just have it in your back pocket so you know when you're not feeling so great, you can just pull that out and use it.
All right, so wrapping up, rule number three is, can happiness buy you money? And I just want to ask you a question. What are your key takeaways from this message? Joel shared some very powerful stories, and he also shared towards the end of the module here about having some happy habits. And what are some happy habits that you can implement into your life? So take a few minutes, jot down some of the things that you can do. He mentioned about music. He mentioned about going for a run. What are some things that you can implement into your life today, starting immediately, that can start bringing some of this happiness into your life? And that's the whole idea behind rule number three, is can happiness buy you money? So hopefully you enjoyed rule number three here. And as we get ready to move into rule number four, which is, what does visualizing have to do with money? So if you're ready, let's dive into the next rule. Talk soon.